2 Timothy. It'll be a theme verse or a theme really message this morning, kind of overviewing the entire thought for the new year. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be looking forward to what God has in store for us. In many ways, I believe that you would probably echo the statement, it's hard to believe that today is the last day of 2023. And for many of us, as we flip the calendar tomorrow, 2024, we think about just our lives and we think about all that has happened and see where we are. And we certainly rejoice in the goodness of God, the opportunity and privilege that He has given us to serve Him yet for another day. And we look forward to what God will do. Of course, we expect that God will continue to do great things. We look forward to a soon return. And it could be that we never even flip the calendar to tomorrow. It could be that the Lord returns still today. And that'd be okay with me. Amen. And we certainly look forward to the imminent, the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But each year, somewhere around September, October, I begin to fervently seek the Lord with regard to a theme for the next year. And I've done that every year that God's given me the opportunity to pastor here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And I have thanked the Lord for His guidance and for His direction. And I desire that God will provide us with an annual church theme that will help us to be encouraged and challenged throughout the entire year. And very quickly, if you think back, some of you have been here since the beginning of me being here. And in 2012, I got here in August of 2011. So the first full calendar year was 2012. And our theme that year was Standing on His Promises. And I'm so thankful for the promises of God. And we were reminded each week of various promises that God has given to us. And we find that Peter said they're exceeding great and precious promises. And we can thank God for the promises that He's given us. In 2013, we turned to the book of Esther, and throughout the year preached from the book of Esther, dealing with the theme of for such a time as this. And God no doubt has put us here for such a time, even as He did Esther. And what an opportunity that God has given us to serve Him, even as He did Esther. In 2014, the book of John, He must increase. What a great challenging statement as John the Baptist is standing there in John 3 and the discussion that takes place, and he looks to Jesus and he says of Jesus, He must increase, but I must decrease. And really, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we studied through the book of John in 2014. In 2015 and 2016, we looked at the book of Acts. And the first part of the series in 2015, we dealt with Acts 1 through 12, and we dealt with the thought of boldness to speak thy word. And oh, how we need that boldness. God's promised to be with us, and we find that throughout the scriptures that the disciples and Paul himself prayed for boldness and how we ought to pray for boldness. The latter part of the book of Acts in 2016, we looked at Acts 13 through 28, and we dealt with the subject of I believe God. I hope that you still believe God. Amen. God is trustworthy. He's always done what He said He would do. He's always going to do what He said He will do. And He is a trustworthy God. And Paul stands up at the end of the book of Acts in the 27th chapter, and he says, I believe God. And oh, how we need some of God's people today to have that same level of faith and confidence in what God has said. In 2017, increase our faith. And we dealt with a number of things throughout the calendar year that God would use in our lives to increase our faith. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and God will use His word to increase our faith. And we desire, even as the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, but then they said, Lord, increase our faith. And oh, that God would help us to believe Him and to trust Him. In 2018, count your blessings, and in that particular calendar year, we said that we desired to have a number of reasons every week of the year, a new reason that we can rejoice. Count your blessings. The songwriter said, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And so often we think about the blessings, even as we talked about, I mentioned it already this morning, the Lord, He daily loadeth us with benefits, and He's been so good to us. If we're not careful, we can focus on some challenges and some difficulties and the obstacles, but God says that we're to fix our attention on the blessings and thank God for what He's done. In 2019, we turn to the book of Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Listen, we're engaged in spiritual warfare, and we need to understand that the battles in which we're facing, the battles in which we're engaged in, as Tozer said, the Christian life can best be described not as a playground, but as a battleground, and we are engaged in spiritual warfare, and the truth is that we must be strong in the Lord. 2020, looking unto Jesus. Oh, 2020 was what a year that was, and God gave me that theme about October 5th or so of 2019. I had no idea of all that we would deal with in 2020, but how encouraged I was personally that as we develop that theme that we're to keep our eyes on Jesus. He knows all things. He doeth all things well. And we're to keep our eyes on Him. 2021, complete in Christ, from the book of Colossians. And I'm thankful that my identity first and foremost is in Christ, and I am complete in Him. And what a blessing to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I hope this morning that as we've gathered together that you know the Lord as your personal Savior. Last week, Ryan trusted Christ as his Savior right after the morning service. And what a blessing. He came in here not knowing the Lord, but left here knowing the Lord and being confident that heaven was his home and his identity is in Christ. And I'm so thankful to be complete in Christ. 2022, we went to the book of 1 John, walking in the light. Aren't you thankful that we can have fellowship with God? We can have fellowship with God. And we walk in the light as He is in the light. And what a blessing to know the Lord and to walk with Him daily, to develop our personal relationship with Him, and certainly a blessing. Last year, or this year, still 2023, great is the Lord. And throughout the calendar year of 2023, we dealt with examining, discovering, if you will, why God is great. Why do we say, why does the Scripture declare that God is great? Why would the psalmist stand up and say, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised? Well, God has revealed, He's declared to us in His Word His greatness, and we studied for a large portion of this calendar year reasons that God is great. And then we said this, as we continue to look at the idea of discovering His greatness, then we're to declare His greatness, because not everyone knows how great our God is. There are a lot of people in our world that have no idea how great our Savior is. And what a blessing that God has given us the opportunity to know Him and then to declare His greatness. And then we finished up the calendar year by dealing with the impact that His greatness will have in our lives daily. When I truly understand how great God is, my belief God is great will impact my behavior. How I behave reveals what I believe. The way that we pray is going to be impacted by how great we believe God is. And we dealt with a number of things. And so this year, in 2024, as we flip the calendar tomorrow, as we have our Vision Sunday today and introduce the theme, the idea of continue. And again, I mentioned 2 Timothy 3:14. Some of you can read it from where you are. Some of you say it's just blurry to me because of the size of the font there. But 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 14, Paul gives this charge to Timothy, and he says this, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." The word continue means to persevere. It means to be steadfast or constant in any course. It carries this idea not to depart. The idea of continue in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, you don't need to turn there, but in that portion of Scripture, Paul has the opportunity to follow up with those that had been saved during the first missionary journey, those that were reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in Acts 14 and verse 22 that when Paul followed up with those believers, that he gave them this exhortation that they would continue in the faith. We find that each letter, this 1st and 2nd Timothy, these letters that we'll be studying this year in 2024, we find that God would use the Apostle Paul to write to Timothy, and we find that in each of these books, there's a charge to continue. We find that there are some that are in the Scriptures, in fact, some that are mentioned by name throughout the Scriptures, who unfortunately they failed to continue. They gave up. They went back and they did not continue. And we find that as believers, we understand this morning that we have an enemy. I mentioned from a previous year in 2019 when we spoke about be strong in the Lord that we are engaged in spiritual warfare and spiritual battle and we have an enemy. The ultimate goal of Satan is to devour you, to devour us. The Bible says that he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. We understand that's in 1 Peter chapter 5, a book that's written to believers. We understand that his work amongst lost people, those that have not yet trusted Christ as their Savior, is to keep them blinded to the truth of the gospel. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. And we find that Satan is actively working along the way with his ultimate goal of devouring you and devouring me. He seeks to discourage and derail God's people. He seeks to discourage you. He'll use a variety of means. In fact, as you study throughout the scriptures, as you begin to look at life and even your own experiences, the means that he uses are varied. And unfortunately, he's been successful. He's been successful far more often than any of us would really like to acknowledge. There are people that we can read of in the scriptures that did not continue. They gave up. They went back. There are people that you know, that I know, that did not continue. They've given up. They've turned back. And that's unfortunate. But we understand this morning that we have an enemy. And he uses a variety of means in order to try to discourage the people of God and to derail the people of God. But I'm thankful that the Bible tells us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm thankful this morning that God has given us a Bible and he loves us as his people, as his children. We spoke last week about the miracle of Christmas and how that because of what he did and how he did it, what is accomplished, that we, if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, that we are his sons, his children, and he loves us. And in so loving us, he's given us a Bible, and he's revealed himself to us through his word. But not only has he revealed himself through us through his word, we find that he has exposed the enemy. We are not ignorant of his devices. We understand the tactics of the enemy, but we also understand that in the Bible, God has instructed each and every one of us. Throughout this calendar year, 2024, it is my goal with the help of God and by the grace of God that we would have the opportunity to study through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and as we do, that we would be challenged to continue, to not turn back, not give up. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of all the craziness, that we would not throw in the towel, that we would not turn back, that we would not slow down, but no, we would continue, that we would persevere, that we would be steadfast or constant in this course, the course of the Christian life. See, one day, and we believe soon, Jesus is coming back. The reality is that for me as a believer and for you as a believer this morning, the thought, the truth of his soon return is encouraging. It's exciting. The reality is that we, as David said, there's but a step between me and death. Not only do we have the promise of Christ's soon return, but we have the awareness of the brevity of life. David said, there's but a step between me and death. And James says that our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And we understand this morning that we have this opportunity, and as long as God would give us life and breath, then our goal would be that we continue, that we continue. Notice as we look in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 this morning, if you're taking notes, a couple of thoughts for you this morning as an introductory message to our theme for 2024. Number one, notice the explanation. Paul begins in chapter number 3 in verse number 1 and says this know also. I think about those three words, and I understand that as we study the Bible, that God wants his people to be informed of some things. He does not want us to be ignorant. He does not want us to be in the dark. He wants us to be aware of what's taking place. And we find that God has said through the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, this know also. He wants us to be aware of. He wants us to be assured of. He wants us to have a knowledge of something. And what is that something? He says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Brethren, I believe this morning that we're in the last days. I believe that we're living really, if we'd be honest and we look at the prophetic calendar of the Lord and we look at the scriptures that are provided to us, we'd find that I believe that we're living in the very end of the last days. And no, I'm not seeking to set a date. No man knoweth the hour. I would never seek to do that. But what I'm saying this morning is that we're living in the last days. We're there. And God says through Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, preserved by God for us this morning and for believers throughout the history of the church, he says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." That word, that phrase, perilous times, it means harsh, it means fierce, it means dangerous, it means troublesome. Have you found this morning that we live in perilous times? Have you found this morning that we're engaged in spiritual warfare? Have you found this morning that we live in a time, in a society, in a culture in which they call evil good and good evil? That we live in a time when they're anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Jesus Christ? That's the time in which we live in. And Paul says to Timothy, I want you to know this. I want you to be aware of this. God wants us to know the times in which we're living. We see this explanation that Paul is providing to Timothy. And for us this morning, we continue to see it. Now, this morning, we'll just do a quick overview of these next few verses. In a later message at the end of the year, we'll begin to deal with each of these particular characteristics, if you will, of the last days, these perilous times that are provided for us. But this morning, we'll just quickly go through and read what God says with regard to the characteristics of these last days, these perilous times. Notice verse number 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That, you don't have to look real far to see that happening. Notice covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I think about that, disobedient to parents. How many times you've been in a public place and you've seen the behavior of some children, you've thought this thought, man, if that was me when I was a kid, I'd have got a whooping. You say, well, that's not really appropriate to say that this morning. Well, you understand there's a lot of disobedience. The disobedience is a result of a lack of respect for authority. We see unthankful. How many people today, we live in this era, if you will, of entitled individuals? And it leads to a lack of thankfulness, a lack of appreciation. We find that the Bible says unholy. Notice verse number 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And we find that in these few verses of Scripture, to begin the third chapter of the book of 2 Timothy, that Paul is providing this explanation to Timothy with regard to the days in which he would be living and the perilous times that should come. And listen, you understand that Paul is writing under the authority of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he says this, they shall come. He didn't say they might come. He said they're going to come. And he said, here's how those days are to be characterized. Here's what you're going to find happening. You find that in verse number 12, the Bible says this, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, notice what the Bible says, shall suffer persecution. So we find in verse number 1 that he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. He says in verse number 12 that all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so we find that as Paul is writing here, he's wanting Timothy to understand. He's wanting him to be aware of what he would face and what he would deal with. And that idea of persecution is to be harassed or to be troubled. It really carries with it the idea of to make one run or flee. Now consider that within the context of our theme for this year, the way that the enemy will use persecutions in order to cause the people of God to turn back, to flee, to not continue. We find that as Paul is writing to his own son in the faith, Timothy, Paul knows, in fact, in chapter 4, he will share the truth that he understands that the time of his departure is at hand. He understands that he will soon he'll leave this earth. He'll die a physical death. He understood that he would appear before the Lord, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But he knew that when he would die, that Timothy would continue to have the responsibility to live for God. It's almost the idea as we read 1 and 2 Timothy and we think about the leadership roles and we think about Paul investing in and instructing Timothy. You think about a relay race in which one runner finishes their leg of the race and they have that baton in their hand. And as they would take that baton and they would pass it to the next runner, their teammate who would run the next leg of their race. And Paul understood that his race, his course, he was near the end. He would put off his earthly tabernacle. The time of his departure is at hand. But he wants to give this charge to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he wants him to understand some things with regard to what he'll deal with. Honestly, as you look at the explanation that Paul provides Timothy with, and you see the characteristics of these last days that shall come, when you understand the persecution that will come for those that live godly in Christ Jesus, you could understand why the next word in verse number 14 is continue. Continue, why? Because really, the idea is, man, I'm going to give up. I mean, why would I want to deal with all of that? Why would I want all that hardship and difficulty? And Paul says, listen, be aware, know what you're going to face. But continue. But continue. We see, number one, the explanation, but now we see, number two, the exhortation. The exhortation. The idea of an exhortation is an address or communication that's emphatically urging someone to do something. We find that this exhortation is given in verse number 14, and the Bible says, "But continue thou in the faith, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." He said to the believers there in Acts 14:22, "Continue in the faith." And here he says, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Begin to think about this particular charge, this exhortation, this communication that Paul is giving to Timothy, emphatically urging him to continue. I understand, Timothy, that the pressures are going to be great. I understand that the opposition is going to mount. I understand you're going to deal with some really difficult things, but continue. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Continue. Continue. So often, people will ask the question when you deal with times of difficulty and great adversity as we've dealt with in our nation in recent years, and they begin to consider, what is it that we should do? How is it that we should respond? What should we do with regard to the current environment and the current circumstances? In one word, continue. Continue. And really, as believers this morning, we could say, what other option is there? Listen, I don't want to give up. I'm not a quitter. I don't want to go back. I don't want to give up or go back. No, I want to continue. Is it going to be easy to continue? No, it's not going to be easy to continue. Are there going to be obstacles to continuing? Sure, there will be obstacles. But our God is with us. And we find that this exhortation is given, the idea of keep on keeping on. You've heard somebody use that phrase, no doubt. I want you to think about some other things that Paul says. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you will, and I want you to notice what Paul says here in this portion of Scripture as he's dealing with the idea of what's taking place with regard to the ideas of difficulty and all that he would deal with. And he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 1, notice he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times," notice what he says, "some shall depart from the faith." giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And so Paul, again, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, is telling Timothy, listen, here's what's going to happen in the last days, and there will be some, notice in verse 1, some shall depart from the faith. Some shall depart. But what's the exhortation to Timothy? Continue. What's the exhortation for us this morning? Continue. I don't want to be part of the some that shall depart. In fact, if you look at the end of 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter, you find that Paul mentions about Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 10. And we find that here as we look to the truth of God's word, and we see that God has provided us with an explanation of what we'll deal with, but the exhortation remains the same. He tells them this in the beginning of 1 Timothy 4, but then skip down, if you will, to the very last verse of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16. He says this, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Notice what he says, continue in them. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so we find that Paul continues to give this exhortation. He's consistent in the message that he delivers to Timothy, both in 1 Timothy and again in 2 Timothy, this message of continue. The pressures are great. The opposition is great. But continue. Persevere. Continue to march forward, to be steadfast or to be constant. I think about that word steadfast. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see, as we're reminded of the great chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, that we serve a risen Savior, the chapter that we would go to speak about the resurrection and to look at all the teaching here in 1 Corinthians 15, that we serve a risen Savior. And what a great truth to know that He lives, and that He lives and He reigns and He rules. And here, at the end of the chapter, Paul is giving this exhortation, this admonition to the church in Corinth, and he says in verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, notice what he says, be ye steadfast. To continue is to be steadfast. And so he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then notice this great promise, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. God has given us promises. There are some that would look at the current environment in which we're living, and even looking at the Christendom, if you will, broadly speaking, and looking even closer in, if you would narrow down that scope and look at some evangelical churches, and even narrowing it down and looking at some Baptist churches and saying, why are there less people coming in this generation than in the previous generation? Why are we not seeing as many results, and why are we not seeing all these things? Listen, don't be discouraged by those things. Don't give up because of that. No, continue, because God said that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God had said through Paul to the believers in Corinth earlier in this book, some water or some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. And there are times in our lives where we may be on that process of being those that are picking fruit, so to speak, that we're seeing the results of the harvest, and we're seeing the fruit of the labor. But there are other times in which we're simply out sowing the seed, sowing the seed. When you're sowing the seed, it takes time for that seed to germinate, to produce. But we can understand that God said that His word would not return void. God said that His word is powerful, that His word is profitable. And we go forth and we sow the word of God, the seed of God's word, and we try to be faithful. We seek to please the Lord and what He's called us to do. And we understand that with all the oppositions and all the difficulties and all that's taking place, that the one word for us is continue, continue, continue. Continue what? Continue what? I'm going to give you 12 thoughts this morning. Just 2 points and then 12 thoughts. Amen? I'm going to give you 12 thoughts this morning of in what areas we can continue. But here's my challenge for you. It's not an exhaustive list. There might be some things that you are able to add to this list, maybe immediately. There's some thoughts that you have on some areas in which you can continue, that you should continue, that we should continue. Maybe throughout this year, as you are reminded of our theme, as we study through these books, 1st and 2nd Timothy, as we are meditating on this thought of continue, that God would help us add to this list of in what area should we continue? Number one, we better continue praying. Continue praying. Never stop praying. God hears and answers prayer. Prayer is a unique privilege for every child of God. What a great truth that God has given us direct access to the throne of God. He says that we can come boldly into the throne of grace. We can go to Him at any moment for any reason. Never stop praying. Continue praying. Why? Because when we pray, we get to see what God can do. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And ultimately, what's the purpose? That He would receive the glory. That He would receive the honor. That it would be obvious to us and to those around us that God did it, that God worked, that God answered the prayers of His people. God hears prayer and He answers prayer. His answer may not always be immediate, but we must continue to pray. Praying is difficult. Praying is challenging. Praying is battle. There's a great spiritual battle that takes place when you and I enter into our prayer closet. Why? Because the enemy hates prayer. Because the enemy knows that God has chosen to use prayer to move the hand of God, to change the circumstances. We must continue to pray. Number two, we must continue rejoicing. Continue rejoicing. You know how easy it is to complain? You know how easy it is to murmur and to complain about the circumstances and the issues? No. We must continue rejoicing. You know, God is pleased to hear the praise of His people. The Bible says that He inhabits the praise of His people. We find that it is well-pleasing in His sight when we lift our voices in praise unto His name. We find that it's lovely, that it's comely, that it's appropriate for God's people to exalt and praise His name. David says, come and let us exalt the name of the Lord. Let us praise our God. We must continue rejoicing. You say, but Pastor, do you see the news? Do you think the things that are happening? Listen, continue rejoicing. Why? Because my God is on the throne. My God rules and my God reigns. And listen, my God is victorious. Your God is victorious. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. We too are victorious. We sing the song, Victory in Jesus. I've read the back of the book, amen? If you read the scriptures through in a calendar year, I typically read the Bible more than once a year, so it's been a little while since I read the book of Revelation. I didn't finish it up this morning as maybe some of you did on a calendar reading. Guess what? We win. We win. We're victorious. Forever I will be with my God. We have so many reasons to rejoice. Don't allow the circumstances, don't allow the perilous times, don't allow the persecution to keep you from rejoicing. No, we got to continue rejoicing. Number three, continue reading your Bible. Continue reading your Bible. You said, well, I read it last year. Read it again. I read it the year before. Read it again. You know what I do? I just said this to Holly last night. In fact, the last several months, I've been reading from a different Bible, still King James Version. I don't have any other version of a Bible, but from a different Bible, because this is my preaching Bible. I've read through this Bible I don't know how many times, and so I started reading probably 4 or 5 months ago from a different Bible. Why? Because it doesn't have all my notes in it. It doesn't have the underlines and things. Now it's starting to get marks in it, but I want to go fresh, and I want to look at it. Why? Because I want the Spirit of God to speak to me. The Bible says of itself that His word is quick. That word doesn't mean that it's fast in the sense of somebody winning a race. No, it's alive. God's word is alive. And God will use His word in your life and in my life on the day in which we need what we need from God, and He'll speak to us. And what a blessing to be able to read and reread and reread. And listen, as many times, I don't know, I've lost count. I wish I would have kept track, but I never did. I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible. But can I tell you? It never gets old. It just doesn't get old. Because God will teach you something new. God will minister to you in a new way, in a fresh way. There's 1,189 chapters in this book. You don't know all of it. Neither do I. You know how many times I preach through a passage of Scripture, and then a few weeks later I read through that passage of Scripture in my daily devotions, and I say something like this: I wish I would have thought about that when I preached that message. Why? Because it's a living book. We sing the song with the kids, read your Bible, pray every day. And you'll, Lydia, grow, right? Don't read your Bible, forget to pray. And you'll shrink. This is a little song for the Sunday school kids, but what a great truth. We're to be students of the Word of God. Continue reading your Bible. Continue, number four, memorizing Scripture. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Bible memorization is something that has almost, in our churches today, it's almost been reserved for children. We need to be memorizing Scripture. Memorizing Scripture. I've read accounts of people in foreign nations that have had various people groups come in and occupy and try to destroy. And one thing that has been consistent, they take a Bible away from people. I wonder this morning, if somebody took your Bible away, how much do you know? How much have you memorized? How much can we rehearse? I remember when I was in Bible college one night, we had an old-fashioned tent revival meeting, and we're in that tent revival, and there's all the sound equipment out there, so they had some of us college guys sleeping in the tent that night so that, you know, nothing would happen to the materials and what have you. And we're supposed to be out there for some security purposes, and we're laying there trying to get to sleep, and we just began, the group of us that were there, just how many verses can we memorize? How many verses can we quote? We just began quoting verses. And each one of us take a turn and quote a verse, just keep going around. Man, it was encouraging. We need to continue memorizing Scripture. Number five, we need to continue attending church. Listen, there's no place like church. I'm thankful for church. Understand this morning that church is not the place, it's not the building, it's the people. Understand this morning that we're the body of Christ. Understand this morning that the church is not man's idea. The church is God's idea. For Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm thankful for a local church. I'm thankful for the opportunity to have obviously pastor a local church. But I'm thankful that God gave me the opportunity to get plugged into a local church right after I got saved. The local church means so much to me. The local church. Continue attending church. Continue, number six, sharing the gospel. Continue sharing the gospel. You say, no one wants to hear. You just keep continue sharing the gospel. The Lord told the disciples about going into a city, and if they don't receive you, just shake the dust off and go on. Continue. He didn't say come up and give up or come back and give up. No, he said just continue, just go on. And this morning, I understand that there's a lot of people that aren't interested in hearing the gospel, but we must understand this morning that we must continue to share the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, if we stop preaching the gospel, we have no reason to really even be here. We've been entrusted to share the gospel. We've been given the gospel. We must continue. Number seven, we must continue investing in eternity. Investing in eternity. You say, Pastor, the economy. You know how many people I've heard tell me things about the economy in the last 6 months? I mean, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and this is going to happen. Man, it just makes my mind go crazy. But we're to invest in eternity. We don't give because the economy is good. We give because it's biblical. Amen? 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 We give because it's biblical. We don't give because we get a tax break. We give because it's biblical. You know, there's some countries, some nations in which they don't have the kind of tax system that we have. They don't have the kind of economy that we have. But you know what believers do each and every week? They worship the Lord through giving. Some people, they give grains, because that's what they have. God's blessed us abundantly. We must continue to invest in eternity. The greatest investment that we could ever make is to invest in eternity. The Bible says, as we would look at the book of Philippians in the fourth chapter, that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. This offering that's mentioned in Philippians chapter number 4 was really missions giving, as they would give to Paul as he would have the opportunity to go and share the gospel as a missionary. And we find that there was an investment, and Paul says, it's not that I desired a gift, but fruit that would abound to your account. Wow, God's economy is different than our economy. And I understand there's a lot of concern amongst a lot of people with regard to what economic crisis we must face or we might face, but the reality is that my God is still on the throne, and my God's still good. One day, according to the during the tribulation, according to the book of Revelation, at some point, a day's wages are going to be necessary to buy a daily portion of food. We're not there. Thankfully, I'll never be there. I'm not going to live through the tribulation. But the reality this morning is that God's been so good to us. So often we hear of people, and I don't seek to criticize anyone. I believe it's an important aspect to be wise and to be prudent and to do some retirement planning, but not at the expense of investment eternity planning. Retirement is not a guarantee for any one of us. The person that owned that property before they sold it to be, have two houses built there, her plan was to move there and retire and build a house. She bought that property in 1978. You know why she's not building a house? She never made it to retirement. It's sad. That was her plan. There's a lot of people that don't ever make it to retirement. But can I tell you this morning, we're going to make it to eternity. We must be investing in eternity. Number eight, continue obeying the Lord. Just continue to obey. Lord, I will obey. Just simple obedience. Simple obedience to what thus saith the Lord. John chapter number 2, Mary says to those servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Just obey. Number 9, continue serving the Lord. Now's not the time to quit serving God. It's time to continue serving the Lord. It's time to serve Him more than we have in the past. Why? For we see the day approaching. We know that we're living these last times. We know that Jesus is coming. We know that we soon will put off our earthly tabernacle, as Peter and Paul speak of. And so we must continue to serve the Lord. Continue singing. I love to sing. I don't always sing on tune. Pierre can tell you all about that. But I love to sing. I hope God's given you a song. Just continue to sing. You know, singing is something that's... It's amazing the impact that it can have on your life. You go through some difficulties. You go through some trials. You have some of these perilous times. You just begin to sing. Sing songs that are biblical songs. Sing songs that exalt the Lord. Sing songs that help you to understand how great God is. And all of a sudden, as you begin to sing those wonderful songs, those songs of Zion, if you will, those hymns of the faith, how it will help you spiritually. By the way, the Bible would tell us in the book of Ephesians in the 5th chapter about being filled with the Spirit of God. And as we're filled with the Spirit of God, the evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is that we're speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's an evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God. Continue singing. I love the old hymns. We sang those songs this morning. Man, I was encouraged. I sing the mighty power of God. Wow. My Savior's love. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. Man, it just does something for you. Continue singing. Number 11, continue loving people. Continue to love people. You say, but they don't love me. They're not lovable. Continue to love people. We're filled with the Spirit of God. He allows us to spread abroad the love of God. Love people. I've said this before. I believe that it's biblical when you look at the book of 1 Thessalonians in particular, a number of other areas you could look to. We find in the book of 1 Thessalonians specifically that as Paul ministered to the believers in Thessalonica, that those believers, they knew that he loved them. And then he was able to minister to them. He's able to teach them and even correct them and help them. I've said this, you've heard it in various contexts, no doubt. People don't care how much you until they know how much you care. Love people. Love people. Love them to Jesus. You know, I'm thankful that Jesus loved them unto the end. His love is a perfect love. John 13, verse 1 speaks about he loved them unto the end. His is a perfect love. But as his children, not only are we to love one another, but we're to love our enemies. Love our enemies. Number 12, continue trusting the Lord. You look at a variety of things that are taking place. Say, well, I can't see. I don't know what's going on. Just continue to trust the Lord. He's trustworthy. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing the song and how encouraging that song is. But I want you to understand that God was, he's never failed you and he never will. Continue to trust the Lord. Again, that list is not exhaustive. Things that you could immediately, no doubt, add to the list. Things that the Lord will help you in the days and weeks and months ahead to add to that list. Where is it? How is it that I need to continue? Listen, there's a great danger in giving up, going back, throwing in the towel. In the midst of all of the circumstances in which we face, the difficulties, the perilous times, the persecutions, the single word that Paul would exhort Timothy with, continue, continue. I'm so thankful that God's given us the truth. I'm thankful to have a Bible. I'm thankful to know the Lord. And this morning, I want to encourage you, and throughout this next calendar year, 2024, I want to be encouraged every single week to continue. As we look at 1 and 2 Timothy, and we go verse by verse through these wonderful books, how we'll see Paul using his own life as an example of one that continued. In the midst of great, great opposition, he left an example. And then he says to Timothy, continue. And for each of us this morning, we've been admonished to continue. The exhortation is plain, it's clear. Continue. This morning, I hope that you have a level of excitement as we look at this new calendar year, 2024, to study these books afresh. To be challenged, to be encouraged, to be helped in our walk with God. Know that you have an enemy. Oh, he's going to try to discourage you and derail you. In fact, he may try even this afternoon. It's just the way he works. Have you found it to be so? We just keep your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And by God's grace and with God's help, we will continue. We will persevere. We will be steadfast. In the work that God has called us to do, we will not depart. There's no turning back, no turning back, no giving up. We continue. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the privilege, the opportunity that you've given us to gather together this morning. God, we thank you for the many blessings in which you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for this text of Scripture, these two books that we'll have the opportunity and privilege to study through here in 2024. And God, I pray that you would help us to be aware, have the knowledge, as Paul explained to Timothy, the things that he would face, the things that shall come. Lord, that we'd have that understanding. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to receive and respond to the exhortation to continue. Lord, I pray that not one amongst us would turn back or give up. But help us to, by your grace and with your help, help us to continue. God, I pray that if there's one here this morning, one that's tuned in via live stream this morning that's not sure of heaven, they've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In fact, they came here this morning, and the truth be told, they do not know for sure if they were to die that they'd go to heaven. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would work in their hearts and lives. Help them to understand the truth of your word, the power of the gospel. I pray they'd understand that they're sinners and the consequence for sin. But understand that you loved them and you died for them. You rose conquering sin, death, and the grave. You offer to them a gift. The gift is eternal life. God, I pray that today they would not leave this place without knowing for sure that heaven is their home. They would receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. I pray for every child of God, Lord. I pray that you'd help us. No doubt we've experienced the attack of the enemy. His methods are varied. Maybe we're in the midst of a serious spiritual battle even at the moment. Maybe the thoughts have crossed our mind of giving up or turning back. Maybe, Lord, we have contemplated that idea. I pray that you'd help us this morning to be encouraged. Help us, Lord, to be determined that by your grace and with your help that we will continue. We'll continue to serve you and to live for you. God, I pray that you'd move and work in the midst of this invitation as only you can. I pray that decisions would be made that would please thee. We'll thank you for the work that you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.